You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that nitty gritty told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like them bitter. And I don't mind.
Good morning, fishing fans. This is Captain Debbie Hansen welcoming you to another edition of Real Talk Radio on 98.1 FM and AM 770 here in Southwest Florida. You can also listen to us live from anywhere at ESPNSWFL.com or by downloading the ESPN Southwest Florida app. It is producer Rick Church and I here in the studio this morning, along with my special guest co-host, Pete Squibb, wildlife biologist and president of the Sanibel Fly Fishers. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back in the studio again. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and it is good to be here again.
Yeah, we are really, I'm really looking forward to getting into our conversation this morning about fishing for snook on the beach, because I know, based on following all of your photos and your posts on Instagram, that no one knows about this subject better than you. I see a lot of amazing photos being posted during the summer months. And I know you kind of split your time between here in Southwest Florida and up in Michigan.
Right. But I'm a Michigander, but for the last 10 years, I'm down here 9 or 10 months of the year. And
yeah.
I'm fishing most of that time. I fish 300 days a year, and it's almost all of that's here in Florida. I've given up my freshwater fishing except for some really special carp fishing on fly in June, which I go back up there for that a little bit. But this is my passion is fishing here. And snook, since I picked up snook 10, 11 years ago, I totally enjoy that. And all that's on fly. I mean, I've never caught a snook on anything but a fly down here.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and the prime time is coming, because generally that starts in May and runs through about September, correct?
Right.
The really good fishing off the beach.
Right.
When those fish start really feeding on a lot of those glass minnows. And we'll get into all of that. We're going to cover best times, types of areas, fly fishing equipment and gear, what to look for, how to carefully practice catch and release with these pre-spawn fish, and more. So if you've ever wanted to target snook from the beach, you'll definitely want to stay tuned. We're coming to you live from Stan and Haney Boulevard in downtown Estero, Florida, and we'll be live on air this morning until 10 a.m. If you're not able to stay tuned for the entire show, or you want to go back and catch up on previous shows, you can just head on over to the ESPN Real Talk podcast page, and that's at ESPNSWFL.com. We're going to go ahead and open up the text lines this morning, numbers 239-337-3776. Let us know what kind of week you've had out there on the water. We would love to hear from you. And as always, remember, you can head over to the Real Talk Radio Facebook page, and that's facebook.com/ESPN Real Talk Radio. If you want advance notice of who we have coming up as guests on the show, we've got some great shows coming up after this weekend, too. We've got Misty Wells in here next Saturday morning, Captain Jim Fortman the Saturday following. And then we've got Mike Sipos, who is with Florida Sea Grant, and we're going to be talking about non-native species, and that's going to be later during the month of May. So lots of good stuff coming up. And you can find me, I'm on Instagram at SheFishes2, and that's the number 2, and I'm also at SheFishes2.com. And Pete, if folks want information on the Sanibel Fly Fishers, they can go to SanibelFF.org, correct?
Correct. Or, excuse me, Sanibel FF on Facebook also.
Okay, great. And if they want to reach out to you directly or follow you on Instagram, you're at Squibster Pete.
Squibster Pete on Instagram.
Yes, and people will see based on your photos that you're very qualified to speak on this subject here this morning.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. All right, we've got Dave Wester coming up at 8. We've got Captain Steve coming up at 9 a.m. with our tournament and event rundown, followed by useless information and name that species trivia during the 9 a.m. hour for your chance to win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale. So I'm going to run through the weather and tides here real quickly this morning. We'll get through that. And all of a sudden, it was summer here in Florida, Pete, right?
Yes.
All of a sudden, the rains came.
The rains were here.
They definitely came yesterday. So weather for today, we've got showers, a chance of showers this morning, and then scattered thunderstorms developing this afternoon. We've got a high near 84 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 60%, and we've got some east winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. And then for tomorrow, or for this evening, I should say, Saturday night, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy, low around 66, east winds 5 to 8 miles an hour, chance of precipitation is 70%. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, we've got sunny in the morning, sunny skies in the morning, high near 85, east-southeast winds 6 to 10 miles an hour with a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. And then for tomorrow night, we've got mostly clear skies, a low around 68, east winds 5 to 8 miles an hour with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m. So like I said, we are quickly heading into our summer weather pattern here. And then the tides, and as always, remember the tides that I read off on air, they're for Estero Bay, Big Carlos, and basically this morning we're on the new moon, so we've got some really good outgoing tides in the afternoons and the evenings. But this morning, if you're out there fishing, low tide was 6:32 a.m. this morning, and that was right around a foot. And then our high tide is right around 1 o'clock this afternoon, 12:53, and that's 2.5 feet. So you would want to fish that incoming this morning right around 7:38 until about 12:30. You've got right around a foot and a half of moving water. And then that outgoing, you've got a really good outgoing this afternoon, this evening, and same thing for tomorrow. So like I said, that high tide, 12:53, 2.6, and then low tide is right around 7:48, and that's negative 0.1. So if you're fishing that outgoing and you can avoid those afternoon storms, you're fishing from about 2 p.m. until about 7 p.m. And tomorrow, very similar situation. Low tide is 6:50 in the morning. That's just over a foot, 1.2. Your high tide, 1:10 in the afternoon, and that's 2.8. So over 2.5 feet, and then your low tide is 8:26 p.m., and that's negative 0.2. So again, tomorrow, fishing that incoming right around 8 a.m. until about 12:30, fishing the outgoing right around 2:30 in the afternoon until about 7:45 p.m. Really good outgoing tomorrow, close to 3 feet of moving water. That's good stuff. So that is the scoop on the weather and tides, and our phone lines are lighting up here this morning. So I'm actually going to head straight over to line one because we've got Nick Davis with 239 Fly standing by, so I'm going to grab his call. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Chad and Debbie, Squibster, how we doing?
Good.
We're doing great. How are things going with you? It sounds like you are once again in transit.
I am. I was telling Rick that I'm a rambling man and I was born for leaving.
Well, Nick, I got to tell you, I've been following your Facebook posts and your Instagram posts, and I don't know if those pictures could get any better. I mean, talk about some gorgeous mountain views that you're posting from North Carolina. Come on.
Well, thank you. It's rather gorgeous up there. If you have not been to the 828, I highly recommend it. I know an awesome fly shop up there and some awesome fishing. I'll be happy to send you right to them. It was an amazing, amazing week. Had so much fun. Breathed in so much fresh air. Got so much work done. Really, really good week. Got the shop opened on Tuesday. Had a really good crowd of people come in. a lot of Southwest Florida transients and a lot of locals as well. But great response. Went fishing a couple of times with Brian Eldridge, our branch manager, if you will, up there. And a lot of good fish too. A lot of 12 to 15 inch browns, like in the creek, eating dry flies.
Nice.
Like small water stuff. Tons of fun. And then got out on the Watauga on Friday with Captain Patrick Folkrod of South Holston River Outfitters, and caught an absolute football of a rainbow, about a 21-inch, just absolute wall hanger on one of the first few casts, too. But really good trip. So reluctantly coming home, but on my way now, going light speed on, what road am I on? Interstate 26.
Well, and, you know, I mean, you're on your way home, but, you know, Pete and I are getting ready to talk about fly fishing for snook on the beach here this morning. So, you know, you're leaving the trout behind, but you've got some really good snook fishing coming up. So any reports from the guys in the shop who have been out?
Exactly that. A lot of redfish in the back, snook on the beach, there's tarpon around. The whole cookie jar is open right now. You know, it's that time of the year. It's just if we get a day where it's not blowing 1,000 miles an hour, which I heard this week, it actually laid down a little bit for you guys. So
it did.
I don't know how accurate that is, but nonetheless, if that is accurate, then you know the whole cookie jar should have been open again, and it should have been a great week. But I know Captain Chris Conant was from the shop, was on some good redfish and good snook. I know that Drew Knackle put some tarpon in the air this week, and I'm hoping to link up with my buddy Patrick when I get back in town and do the exact same.
Good stuff. Well, anything going on at the shop here locally in the upcoming weeks that we need to know about?
Yes, we've got a fly tying night on May 25th, which will be at the shop, 7 o'clock. But also, we're going to have a party on May 9th. And I want to say it's going to be at 5 o'clock. I need to double-check the hours. But we're having a raffle for, I want to say it was AFTA. Details to come. May 9th, block it off.
Okay.
Been a little busy this week.
Save the date.
Busy this week, but May 9th, and I want to say it's going to be in the afternoon. So I'll have details on that literally later today. I'll have it on the front page of the site.
Awesome. Great. Well, we will look forward to that for sure. And then, so snook on the beach, Nick, I know you and I have talked about this before as far as types of flies people are going to want to have handy. And I know Pete and I are going to get into this a little bit deeper this morning, but give me a couple of your go-tos, a couple of recommendations for, you know, the flies you want to have in your fly box and maybe the type of line you would recommend.
So normally, I'll always fish either a 6 or a 7 weight on the beach because the snook are real, real finicky, real persnickety in the words of Joel. So I'll fish a 6 or a 7 weight floating line. Normally a redfish taper. A lot of our shots are going to be close in, and then as far as flies go, most of the time I'll fish a small white fly and no more than 20-pound fluorocarbon tippet. But also I'm fishing a little bit further south. You know, I'm fishing the beaches around the shop and all the way down through Marco Island,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you've got the beach master there sitting beside you. I can't wait to hear what he says about, I'm going to be taking notes as I'm driving, 92 miles an hour. Just kidding. the speed limit on
right. Exactly.
On 169 Alpha here. Small white flies, 20-pound fluorocarbon, no more. Want to try to keep it light, something that doesn't make a big splash. And a lot of the times, the beaches that I'm fishing, the snook are right in that first little trough, almost with their noses, you know, on the beach, just getting sunburned. So, you know, you don't need something that's going to get down most of the time. You need something that's kind of stay up. And, you know, snook have those eyes that are mounted on the top of their head. They kind of want to they kind of want to eat something that's kind of on level with them or right above them. I feel like they can see a little bit better. So my two cents, I look forward to hearing what Pete has to say on Beach Snug, because that guy's a man.
I know. I can't wait to dive into our conversation this morning. So, well, great. Thank you so much for calling on your drive. And we'll definitely make sure we catch up with you next Saturday morning. And again, congratulations on the shop up there. I know you guys just opened up, and it's got to be a super exciting time for all you guys. So I can't wait for further reports as we get into the summer and, of course, into the fall, because I know fall can be really good fishing up there, too. So keep us posted.
Absolutely. We got to do a remote up there. We got to do a grand opening party with a remote broadcast, Cat and Debbie.
Oh, man, I would love that. That would be awesome. That would be too cool.
We got to make that happen. But we'll absolutely talk to you guys next Saturday. Have a great week, and talk to you then.
You too, Nick. Take care.
Take care.
Drive safe.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
That is Nick Davis calling in from 239 Flies and 828 Flies.
That's right.
And if you haven't been into his shop off of Bonita Beach Road, that's definitely something you got to do for sure. So they're right off Bonita Beach Road in the Beach Road Plaza. So stop in and see Nick and crew. And I'm actually going to head straight on over to line two because we've got Captain Barracuda, who has been patiently standing by. Hey, Barry, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday back at ya. So how have things been going in the world of Barracuda? You got a report for us?
We had a good charter a couple days ago. We had a lot of fun. Got 9 species. We got a few snook, and that was fun. But one treat, this was cool. I've never seen this happen before, and I'm sure it has. But my client picked up a small mangrove snapper as she's reeling it back to the boat. It's got to be 6-7 inches, you know, standard what we catch around the mangroves and the oyster bars here. Right next to the boat, this big trout, now big's relative, I'd say 19 inches, swoops up and darn near takes it off her line and disappears. And I said, whoa! And we couldn't get a trout to bite after that. I threw lures, we threw shrimp. When you know they're there, I mean, come on. But that trout, and they always have buddies, but they wouldn't bite. But we did catch 9 different species, and I think about 22 fish, a variety of places. I scouted a couple of new spots that produced some trout and catfish. Of course, the catfish are everywhere. It's funny. You almost think they follow you from spot to spot. But the bay must be carpeted with them. There's so many. But, yeah, it's been good. The wind let us alone in the morning and then got aggravating in the afternoon, but nothing we couldn't deal with.
Yeah, I've been getting some really good trout reports coming in from Estero Bay. A couple of the guys I know have been seeing trout up to about 24, even 25 inches. So
nice.
Some big gator trout out there right about now.
And that's supposed to be the winter weather trout.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that, you know, they start seeing a lot of the bigger ones a little bit later in the spring, interestingly enough.
Right.
So,
that
yeah.
Works for me. Anytime is good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, great, Barry. Thanks for calling in with the report.
Yeah.
We certainly appreciate it, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, you take care.
I'm on my way out the door. I'm going up to do some fly casting at Joe's place.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm doing fly casting today. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, you'll have a great time at Castapalooza. So tell everybody up there we say hi, and Pete and I are both hoping to stop up there after the show.
Oh, good. I'll see you there.
We'll see you then.
All right. Take care, Barry.
All right.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye. All right. That is Captain Barracuda calling in. All right, Pete. So let's dive into it here.
Okay.
I know you keep some pretty extensive fishing logs. And I know you also, we were just talking about before the show that you recently reached a pretty monumental milestone. I think in 9 years, you've caught, over the course of 9 years, you've logged
almost 27,000
fish.
That I've actually had in hand, that I've measured and looked at closely and put back into the water.
Yep.
Those are the ones that I've caught and released. I've, in that same time frame, out of 27,000, I've kept about 190 because my wife and I do like to eat fish. So
from time to time,
I'm not a total, I am a catch and release guy, but we do like them. My wife loves pompano, and whenever I get a good pompano from the beach, if I'm within close distance of the cooler, it goes home and spends the evening with us.
Yeah, and how do you like to prepare pompano when you bring it home?
I like to do them on the grill and just kind of grill them nicely, and they turn out really well.
Yeah, so just simple.
Just simple. I don't do anything dramatic like your husband does. I just make simple meat on the grill type thing. But pompano, I think, are if they're done correctly, are really good fish, and we really like them.
Yeah, I know. There's a couple species. Greg and I are almost all catch and release too, but there's a few, you know, triple tail every once in a while.
Yes.
Very, very good eating. Yeah. And pompano for sure.
Right.
Yeah. And thank you to Greg, by the way, for supplying breakfast this morning. As I was on my way out the door, I heard like something being stirred around frantically in a bowl and some mention of garlic aioli, so I'm not sure what you guys have sitting on your plates over there, but I have no doubt that it's going to be pretty amazing. Thank you, Captain Greg, for delivering breakfast here this morning. So, yeah, I know we've got to get ready to head off to a break, Pete, but when we come back, we're going to get into, you know, recommended types of areas to look for on the beach, good conditions for beach snook fishing, the type of equipment and gear you should have, and basically what these fish are looking for from a forage standpoint, because that's going to make a big difference in terms of what you're casting out there and the flies that you're selecting. So we'll talk about all of that when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
Just watching her blonde hair sunburn, stare at them white caps rolling over. Laid back in a thrift store beach chair, dropping limes in a Corona. But she looks back, yeah, she throws me a kiss like, honey, I sure want you. And it's 103 between her and me and only 92 in Daytona.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Pete Squibb, the Sanibel Fly Fishers, and we're talking beach snook fishing this morning. Good morning, Pete. Thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Captain Deb. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's always great to be in the studio talking fishing, and certainly this morning I'm totally excited and jazzed and looking forward to talking more about fly fishing for snook on the beach. And, you know, speaking of snook, we've got Captain Rob Modi standing by on line one, and I saw some pictures of Captain Rob with just a few monster snook this past week.
Yes.
So I'm going to head over to the phone line and grab his call because I know he's got some fish stories for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi. How are you? Hello, Pete.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good, but the more important question is, how are you?
Sore.
Yeah.
This old man is sore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In the best way, too, based on the pictures that I saw over the past week. So fill us in on your trip.
Absolutely. I'm going to guess we probably put 50 miles on the boat. So, But it was glassy smooth, so I can't complain about the ride. It was absolutely gorgeous on Thursday. So, yeah, it was pretty nuts. Long story short, I met a guy named Josh, and Josh Dickerson's with he's with the Saltwater Experience and Into the Blue and Sweetwater and all that good stuff. And I'm getting ready to transfer my pod. I've been asked to put my podcast on Waypoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited about that. And Josh invited me down and said, let's go fishing. We got this guy we've hired, and let's go out. So I went down and met him. The guy's name is Casey. Casey is young. He's fourth generation, which, man, oh, man. I got to be honest with you. I've never been on a boat with a 20-something-year-old who knew the water as well as he did, especially all of Florida Bay. I mean, the kid was great, really, really good. He had great eyes, very good at sight and fish. The upper waters were very cloudy because of the low tide, and you know, he could make them out from the pulling platform. Honestly, I couldn't see him all that well from the bow. Once he really, really started pointing, I would look and go, oh, yeah, I see a shadow, just barely, something you would not see standing on the deck of the boat or even on the bow of the boat. But, man, he knew how to direct the cast. And the first one I got was 38 inches. And we estimate over 30 pounds. The thing was huge.
It was girthy fish.
Yeah, we guesstimated, what did he say? Let's see, 22, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 28-inch girth, 11 on each side at least. And then, of course, 4 and 3 on the top.
Yeah.
The thing was just a beast. It really was. And put up a hell of a fight, to say the least. Happy to just get it to the boat. And then not much long after that, maybe 30 minutes later, he's pulling up this edge, the same edge we were on before, and he goes, I see another one. It's just as big. And I'm like, all right. So directed the cast, managed to put it right on the fish's nose, and she just gulped it down.
And you were fishing all light tackle artificials, weren't you, Rob?
Light tackle artificials. I mean, crazy light. Little Loomis rods. Oh, I love the rods. Like, honestly, I'm sorry. I'm so off on Loomis now. I couldn't begin to tell you the model, but very nice little whippy tips and very light 8-pound test braid with a 40-pound. Well, he stepped it. It's an 8-pound test braid. I think he stepped it. I think he said to a 20 braid piece and then the 40-pound fluoro on the end. Using zooms, you know, just good old-fashioned zooms, like watermelon, you know, like green with the red metal flake in them, and then offset weighted hook, just enough weight to get it in front of the fish so it didn't float. And the trick was, I'm not kidding you, the trick was putting the cast within 8 or 9 inches of its nose. That was the real trick, because water was milky. You could see the silhouette of the fish, but you knew that fish was not going to go 14 inches. It was not going to go 12 inches to get something. It had to be right in front of it.
Yep.
And, boy, I mean, it's crazy. There's lots of shot at tarpon, shots at permit. It was a nuts day. We had the follows and we had the permit, of course. Oh, I don't know what was wrong with them, but they would just come right at it. Schools of permit coming across the flat. And because we were trying to get that big slam, the grand slam, and they would come at it and then just break. It would just leave like, we know what that is. See you later. And we threw crabs at it, threw shrimp at them. They didn't care.
Yeah, they were just in one of those moods.
I know, but I'm still pumped.
Gosh. Yeah, you had a pretty darn good day. Well, were you fishing just one day, or did you end up fishing 2 days?
Just one.
Yeah.
We fished all day. We started
That's
early on
an
Thursday
amazing day.
Yeah. And it was just one of those days in the, you know, Janelle and I spent a lot of, and here's the weird part. I met him at the marina where we used to keep our boat. That was the most bizarre thing. It's changed names in Alamorada.
And oh, my gosh.
He told me, you know, he told us where to go, and Josh and I went, and we show up, and we pull it. I said, Josh, you're not going to believe this. This is where Janelle and I kept our boat. And so it was weird going out the same water. You know, the marina changed, but the canals don't change. And it was strange going out and seeing all the, you know, the Twin Key Bank and the going all the way up to Tin Can and just all the channels that Janelle and I used to run and fish was the coolest thing of all. And to catch those, you know, the area he took us to for redfish, it was just covered in red. I'm not kidding you. There was a red every 4 or 5 minutes cruising the flat in, you know, digging mud,
mm-hmm.
putting mud up.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the red was really big. I don't think we measured it. I think we picked it up, took a picture, just put it back in the water. I just remember I'm restricted to 30 pounds by the doctor. And I remember when I picked that first snook up, I thought the doctor's going to get on my ass about this. And I told Casey, I said, I think that fish weighs more than 30 pounds, dude.
Yeah, and Rob, if people want to check out photos of those snook, what's your Instagram handle?
I don't Cap Rob Modis, I think. My Facebook is up there, too. But if you just search for Cap Rob Modis,
they'll find
you. Check it out on there. And then before I leave you, I'm really excited about the podcast thing. It's just great. I mean, it's I don't know. There's a lot of people that have watched Waypoint TV, and Waypoint basically has got a podcast channel now with some really great people on there. And I'm very excited, so that'll be really cool. And Janelle and I are going back down to fish with KC on the middle of May. We've been invited back to go the middle of May, so I hope we can get Janelle on one of those fish. I would love to see her face.
Oh, my gosh. That would be fantastic. And it's so great to see you guys getting out and really, you know, taking the time to enjoy
I apologize
everything.
For not calling. Well, I tried to call George Poveroma Day, but you had locked the phones, which makes sense for what you were doing. But we travel on Saturdays, and I'm one of these people that just does not like to talk on the phone while I'm driving. It just, I don't know. There's just something, even on the speakerphone, I'm not wild about it. So, but I've been listening. You've had some great shows going on. So,
yeah, well, it was great having George and Mike in the studio, and yeah, I mean we've had some fantastic guests, and Pete, of course, today to talk about snook fishing from the beach. So
I know
Greg was in the studio last weekend talking about night fishing. We've covered some really great topics. So, and speaking of topics, Rob, we just got a text message from fan of Cedric, one of the Sheeman and Shepherd texters, and he wants to know if you're going to be giving us your Kentucky Derby predictions next week.
I will do it on Derby Day. You know, it's funny. I thought about that this morning. I've looked at the horses, but nothing is firmed up yet. You know how they – anyway, they have to run their runs first, their workouts. When they do their workouts this week, and they get post positions picked on Thursday. So, sure, absolutely.
And you'll want to tune in for that because Captain Rob's Kentucky Derby picks are legendary. I'm just saying. That's why the texts are coming in.
Yep, everybody.
Captain Rob's Derby picks are
listening to his Derby picks.
Check that out.
I got a quick question for Pete on the snook on the beach thing. I really want to know something. Everybody over here and down in the Keys has started to switch off of using braid that's like 15 and going down to 8, and they're using the 8 and stepping it with 15 or 20 depending on the size of the leader they're going to stick on. And I know Pete, you do a lot of fly. Do you spin fish on the beach much, Pete, or do you just do fly?
I fly 100%, Rob.
100%. So 100%. It might not be the – I'm just curious if people over there are starting to switch over to the 8.
Yes.
Adding a step up.
The guys that know what they're doing do. They've gone down to 8 and 10 and for a lot of reasons. But basically they're trying to get less water resistance with that line out there. And I think that's a big factor.
And a major amount of distance when you're casting to something that you don't want to see you, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, but I would imagine you really need to know what you're doing when you're fighting that fish, because otherwise you are going to really stress that fish out with that light of tackle.
Right.
Yeah, I got the 38-pounder in probably four to 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of, you really have to know. You know, I go back to watching old fly fishing films. Trying to think, there were several people that used to do this, but they would take cinder blocks or they would take a bucket of cement literally and put it in a pulley system on a porch on a beam. And then you would take your fly rod and try to lift the bucket.
Right.
And the bucket could be 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20, you know, whatever, to teach you exactly how much pressure you can really put on a rod and on your line. And I took that to spin years ago, trying to do it with spin. And you start to discover you can put a lot more pressure than you think you can on some of these new, especially the new rods. The rods are incredible, spin and fly fishing rods for that matter. And so I just, you know, I dropped down to 8 mainly for casting distance. It's fabulous. The only problem you have with it is you got to be careful with the wind and the wind knot, because the 8-pound test braid will jump off the reel after fishing. After casting.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look down when you close that bail and make sure you don't have a loop hanging off.
Right.
Yeah, because that's what I use for freshwater is 8-pound braid.
Well, and you know, if you fish that enough, that braid, even 8-pound braid, breaks at a lot more than 8 pounds.
That is
amazing stuff. It's almost like wire.
And it looks like thread.
It's even
for me with my old fingers, it's hard to tie, but it's like, oh my God, it's so. Yeah, you're right about the break. It does feel a whole lot stronger than it really is. And I've tried a bunch of new braids. There's a new braid that's made over here in Miami now, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the name I want to try. But I've been using Cortland for years, and I love the Cortland braid. And, of course, everybody's Power Pro crazy.
Yep.
So. Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting change that happened over here. I don't know. I'm going to say a few years back. I just kind of fell into it when we moved over here, and I was like, wow, everybody's using crazy light tackle at the beach. How do you get away with that? Because there's some monster snook on our beaches over here.
Right? Yeah, but I think with all the increased fishing pressure, too, it's kind of forcing people to have to go a lot lighter on their tackling gear because the fish
becoming
way wary.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, fish are getting smart.
yeah, they are. Yeah. They have
That's
to. It's
to
it's
it.
Survival
yeah.
of the fittest is yeah. what it comes down
All right,
to.
I'll let you get back to Pete because I want to hear what he's got to say about the fly.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll look forward to catching up with you next Saturday, Rob, for your Kentucky right. Derby prediction. So thanks for calling
right.
in. Say hi to Jonelle for us. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye. That is Captain Rob Modi's calling in. We got about 1 minute before we have to head off to another break. But Pete, in that 1 minute, I know we were just talking about fishing logs before we went head off to the first break of the morning. So real quick, is there any recommended apps or ways that you have for folks of logging their catches in an easy and simple manner or logging their fishing data?
Right. There's an app. It's called Angler Action. It's put together by the old Snook and Gamefish Foundation. It's a pretty good one. It's the one I use. I help them develop it. You can find it online. It's available at the App Store, but it's Angler Action.
Angler Action. And so they can just go either to the Apple App Store or to Google Play
right.
and download that.
Yep, and you can download it. Carry it on your phone. You can do it right there. I do it at the end of the day because unless I'm starting to get into big numbers of fish. But
yeah.
And you're looking for the species, the day, the time, the place, how big it was, and how it was caught, you know, and the condition it was in when it was released.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to fill all of that out, but there's enough detail there that if you want to really get a good record of that fish, where you caught it, what it was, how big it was, the condition it was when you released it. Everything is there.
Is there a field for weather conditions?
Yes,
and
weather, tides,
phase,
everything else is there. And you put that in and a lot of stuff with the comments when you started out for that particular trip.
That's great.
And it's downloadable to an Excel file, so you can always pull it out. And you can do summaries of stuff when you get a lot of data. So you can look back.
Use it
as a
database.
I can now look back over 8-9 years. And see during the first week of May, where was I fishing?
That's the wildlife biologist
happened.
In you
right.
coming
that's,
out.
That's the bad part. Yeah, that's the data
you
analysis
You can really geek
part.
Out over all
that's
that
right.
data, right?
That's right.
All right,
that's
we're going to head off to another break. More when we come back. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
My baby's been wishing that I take her fishing, so we waited on the perfect day. Hitched up my old John boat to see if it would still float. Should have seen the smile on her face.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host Pete Squibb of the Sanibel Fly Fishers. And we are talking snook on the beach and some techniques, strategies, equipment for targeting snook on the beach during the summer months. So definitely stay tuned. We've got lots more coming up. And of course, 9 a.m. hour, stay tuned for your chance to win a $50 gift card to Sportsman's Wholesale. So, Pete, I know we were just talking a little bit about logging your catches and your fishing logs and some of the things that you can do there as far as the it's the Angler Action app, correct?
Right, right.
And I definitely want to talk a little bit about kind of the prime time to target snook from the beach and then get into equipment. So we'll touch on that next. In the meantime, what I'm going to do is head on over to line one because we've got Captain Jim Fortman standing by. Hey, Captain Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning, and how are things going down in your neck of the woods in the 10,000 Islands?
This week has been the land of tears, unfortunately. The trout bite is outstanding. That's a plus. A lot of bigger fish, though, are starting to move in. Just kind of like what Nick was saying, the jar was open on a cookie jar. All the big fish moved in. You have sharks,
yep.
Tarpon, big snook. Big redfish, everything just pushing in. And the only thing I can say at the end of the week is, please remain calm.
Oh, so you had a few heartbreaks this past week, did you?
Yeah, well, a little overplaying of the fish, you know, reeling against drag, that kind of thing. So, like I said, you get one of these big fish on, best advice I can give to anybody, remain calm. It is... No one knows anything about that, right, guys?
No. That can be, there may have been, I remember fishing for those black drum with you. There was definitely, there was a few heart-stopping moments there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's in the report this week as well. That's because they just started showing up.
Did they?
Yep. We just started seeing some good numbers. We started seeing them last week, but the big cloud started moving in, so... If you guys want to get on some mud donkeys, they are pushing in on the flats on the incoming tides, especially with the new moon. That's kind of their thing. You know, they get schooled up on the new moon, and they are coming in with the incoming tide, which we have for the next, next 3 days. It's going to be like that.
Yep.
So if you know a mud flat that's got holding some clams on it down south, don't be surprised if you see some big old clouds of mud pushing through. That's them. So. And they're averaging about 10 to 25 pounds right now. So I can tell you that for a fact. And best thing I can tell, you know, if you get one hooked up, Debbie, I'm going to have to pull you in on this one. Don't overset the hook. Just kind of one's good enough, you know, and just, you know, remain calm. Let them, you know, you got to play them out. So.
Yeah, well, and, you know, the difference between knowing that it's actually the fish and not bottom, because they don't move a whole lot initially until they realize they're hooked,
they
and then
not.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's one of the best things that, you know, about my job is when I get to tell a client, yeah, that rock's moving that way. Yeah. Yeah, no, they don't move a lot. You know, they kind of pick it up, and once they feel that hook.
But once they realize their hook, forget about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's...
It's a different world when they, you know, and it's a slow bite. And I can tell everybody, once you get about 15 feet off the shoreline, there's not really a whole lot to get hung up on. So if you feel like you got hooked up on a rock and you're on a mud flat 15 feet off the shoreline, there's nothing really to get hung up on out there, guys.
That's right. So,
yep, you're on a big black drum.
For the area, we did have some big rains this week. There are some trees floating around, guys, if you're running across flats, so just kind of keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed two trees on one flat that I was on that they are moving. They break off on the shorelines this time of year, and they kind of swept up with the rain that comes in. So, you know, well, boater safety, keep your eyes open in my area.
Absolutely. Good tip, Jim.
Yeah, and... once again, the big snook are definitely moving in. My Thursday was like magic when that front was kind of pushing through at the same time. I'm going to call him out by name, Matt. He lost the big old snook. I mean, that was, I haven't seen one that big since for a long time. That was just an absolute monster.
Yeah, did you guys at least get to see it, Jim?
Oh yeah, we saw the head.
Yeah.
As it was breaking, he actually did everything right, getting it off the shoreline.
Uh-huh.
By then he started sword fighting it. And if you guys all know what sword fighting is, that's when you start waving your rod tip back and forth. So that's something you don't want to do with, we got a light tackle down right now. If you're going to get those big bites,
yep.
The 30-pound leader is about as heavy as you can go right now. It's because the water did clear up this week.
Yep.
So, yeah, keep that in mind, guys. If you're using artificial lures, hard plastics, you can get that instinct strike because you're using the rod, twitching a little bit faster. But if you're using like live bait or chunk bait, don't go any heavier than 30. You're not going to get the hits.
Were you fishing live bait, cut bait, artificials, Jim? When you had that snook hit, what'd you have on?
That actually came on a chunk bait. We're actually targeting the tarpon because tarpon have just been really moving in, but the tarpon have been eating really slow on the incoming tide. But on the outgoing tide, they're taking artificials. They're taking we had one that actually hit on a white bucktail, quarter ounce bucktail. And these tarpon are in the 80 to 150 pound class on the outside right now. So don't be surprised if you're throwing a white bucktail around. And that, by the way, is the color that's been really keying in is a white.
White.
Because mm-hmm. we are getting a little bit more bait in the area right now. So that's basically been the go-to this week is white. Now, if you're trout fishing, guys, don't be surprised if you get on the outside. They have only been hitting really on the turns of the tides on the outside. You'll find patches of them, but the larger ones, they're just really not really, feeding until that tide switches. So whether it's switching from outgoing to incoming, in the area, if you guys probably, we never get a slack tide down south. It's always moving in one direction or the other. But the larger sea trout have been feeding on the outside, right on that switch of the tide. And the other areas you can target them have been in the deeper trenches, what we call West Pass. If you're fishing up around, up towards Goodland, any of the Fakahatchee Panther, there's some deep cuts in there, and that's where those sea trout have been really hanging out. The redfish have been way back in the back. That's where the cleanest water's been. It's kind of what redfish really like to hang out in.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the oyster bars around any of the river mouths, Buttonwood, I heard it's been hitting really good. Fakahatchee's been hitting really good. Pumpkin Bay is, if you can get in there, just mind the tides in that area. If you're going to head back there, it gets a little skinny.
And Jim, going back to the trout, you're seeing some bigger trout down in your area right now too. I know some of the trout the guys have been seeing in Estero Bay have been 24, 25 inches.
Yeah.
Some nice
we're seeing them,
chunky
the
trout
that we're seeing. We had one that was about 22 inches this week.
Mm-hmm.
That was on a topwater. The wind's laid down, so we got out on the outside flats and.
Yeah, great time to work top.
Yeah, it's game on out there when the incoming tide comes in on those outside flats. And
mm-hmm.
they were just kind of blind casting, just throwing in any direction. And basically they're hitting in the potholes on the outside. And that one that hit, I was like, well, is that a snook? Yeah, it's a little early in our area for the snook to be getting out on the beaches. But, it was a big sea trout, and that's next that's going to be coming out, talking about snook on the beaches. Definitely love the Miradine. That's one of my go-to on the beaches. I think it's an M3 Miradine. The little one's about 2.5 inches.
Yeah.
It's just a slayer for snook on the beaches.
Well, when Dave calls in this morning, when we talk to Dave, we're definitely going to get into some of the lures and baits that you can use from a spinning gear standpoint, too. So, yeah, that's a great tip, Jim. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great. We got to get ready to head off to another break, but thanks so much for calling in and for the updated report, Jim. And we're looking forward to having you back in the studio in a couple weeks.
Yes, I am looking forward to it. And once again, thank you for having me on. And congratulations, by the way, that, Job well done. You do a great job, by the way, Debbie. So just going to give you a heads up on that.
Oh, geez. Right. Well, thanks. I mean, honestly, it's due to all the great guests and Rick here behind the glass keeping the show running like a well-oiled machine. So it's takes a village, takes a team. And I feel very fortunate that we have so many dedicated listeners and that we had such a great season this year. I think, you know, obviously there's so many more people down here during the months of January through March. Just people coming down for season and people coming down on vacation that it's great. It's great to hear that feedback. So thanks to everybody for listening. We wouldn't have a show without you.
Definitely. Guys, tight lines. I got to get to work. I'm over here at the Vanderbilt Farmers Market if anybody wants to come by and ask me any questions today.
All right. Well, have a great rest of the day, Jim, and we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Jim.
Bye-bye. Bye. That is Captain Jim Fortman calling in from the 10,000 Islands with his report. We're going to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back.
And if I had a boat, I'd go out on the ocean. And if I had a pony, I'd ride him on my boat. And we could all together go out on the ocean. Set me up on my pony, on my
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.